This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine, Macca and Mark Hawthorne.
If you've been reading any of the news over the past week and a half, one of the stories that's been almost impossible to miss has been Nine and the Age's investigation into Crown Casino. Led by Nick McKenzie, a former colleague of mine, The Age and Nine have been privy to tens of thousands of pages of internal documents, emails and communications from inside Crown. Culminated in a 60-minute special a week ago and some tremendous journalism in The Age. Nick, welcome.
Morning, guys.
How are you? So, interesting development today, Nick. I'll ask you the first question. I know Mac is itching to ask you a couple here, but obviously the story's now taken in Star. And one of the questions that's been on my mind is what you've been reporting about use of junket operators out of China, some quite sort of nefarious characters who have infiltrated the Crown ecosystem. Is this unique to Crown, or do you think this is an industry, a casino industry-wide issue?
It's certainly not unique to Crown, and it certainly is a casino industry-wide issue. That said, a Crown sort of hyper-aggressive, high-roller operation where it sought to do more than any other Australian casino, in fact, probably more than any other casino in the world, to conquer that Chinese whale high-roller market, meant that it embraced that risky strategy more aggressively than others, and therefore took on more, not just more risk as well. I think what we pretty comprehensively exposed is they took on actually more criminal elements. But that said, you know, Star Casino, the Star in Sydney with Sky City, the other big player in Australia, have formed similar partnerships with criminal entities. And I think now that the whole sort of casino world is scrambling to say to itself, well, how do we expose ourselves to such risk and why has our due diligence been so poor?
So, Nick, it's Macca. I'm wondering, you know, it's pretty, you know, I've followed this and I'm appalled, but what I'm appalled at is not just the relationships that seem to have been formed with criminal organisations and criminals, but that the regulators in this, I can't think of how I would describe, to be honest, you know, in Victoria, you know, there's a regulatory body. Are they actually awake or are they asleep at the wheel with the windows blacked out?
Oh, I think we've had sort of a bit of regulatory capture. So the gaming authority in Victoria really at any one time only has two dedicated staff to deal with Crown. Think of the size of Crown, the amount of issues from low-level casino floor issues to then the high roller rooms and the billions of dollars passing across those tables. So it's a hell of a lot for two guys or a man and a woman or two women to be doing at any one time. So they've been very, very poorly resourced. I think they've been poorly led. I think what we've seen is the head of the Gaming Authority, the Gaming Commission in Victoria, really should now be saying on calling on government and doing so publicly to say we need more resources, we need more powers, if that's the case, to do our job to assure Victorians that this is under control. And we've not seen that. What we've seen is the typical institutional response, which is, you know, hide under a rock and then eventually you crawl out and weakly or feebly defend your agency and say, well, we're doing the best with what we've got. But leading the charge, of course, is the government itself, the Gaming Minister, Marlene Kaurutz, the Premier, Dan Andrews. Why have they been so resistant to actually getting on the front foot here? In New South Wales, just this week, we've seen the Gaming Commission order an independent inquiry led by a former Supreme Court judge with Royal Commission-type powers to look at Crown Casino, which, of course, is going to have a large high-roller hotel operation in Barangaroo in a year or two in Sydney. Why haven't we had the same response here in Victoria? And throw that back to you, Mark. I think you've got a great read on how politics works in this state, but Crown seems to have been pretty good at getting people from both sides of politics on the payroll as lobbyists, as advisors. Is that why there's a bit of a conspiracy of silence across both major parties?
Look, that's interesting. I do know that the main lobbyists that Crown have are in fact New South Wales based rather than Victorian based. So it's interesting that the investigations come out of New South Wales. Look, they're a highly connected organisation. They're, I think, the biggest single employer in Melbourne. At any given time, the population of Crown on a Friday or Saturday night is 50 or 60,000 people, which, you know, is as large as a major regional centre. The thought that you've said, Nick, that there are two people dedicated to oversight of the... Is that gaming and liquor or just the gaming operations there, Nick?
That's looking principally at the gaming operation.
At the gaming. So you've got, what, thousands of poker machine licences, hundreds of tables, tens of thousands of people. It's a little wonder, Macca, they can't even find a jacket that's stolen on occasion,
that's
as you
right.
know.
I was going to say, you know, if one of the things Crown, you know, is saying, you know, they have such strong surveillance within the casino that they can detect criminal activity. Well, my jacket was stolen there a few years ago and it was on video. You know what? They did nothing with it. Jacket gate, Nick. Jacket.
So anyway,
jacket gate.
Yeah, we'll get Nick onto that. So, but then I'll ask you, Nick. You're raising the point, but obviously, subsequent governments here have signed off on expansions of Crown, expansions to their license, more tables, new hotel apartment complex. I mean, you've looked at this company intensively for the past year. What's the view you've formed on their alliances in Victoria?
I think they've been very, very clever, as many corporates are, to ring-fence themselves with very politically connected people, so within the business community and within the political community. And also, they've been clever enough to hire some senior ex-police who are connected as well. So, yeah, Crown's been able to, over many years, keep its finger on the pulse of sort of the political mood and the policing mood. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing, or every company does it? I think what we'd like to make sure is it's in the sunlight, and that's what we've not seen in the case of many corporates, but especially Crown. So behind the scenes is where things get really interesting. What are the conversations happening between those ex-New South Wales Labor rights people who now work and get paid a hell of a lot for Crown as corporate relations and government relations advisors? What are the conversations they're having across federal and state governments? Daniel Andrews, former senior advisor, was hired, I think, last year by Crown, and government relations is moved to a different role in Crown. Again, a useful ally if you want to reach into the government and understand what the thinking is among senior ministers. What are the conversations happening between the senior former police hired by Crown and senior serving police? Again, I'm not saying anything inappropriate is happening, but there's no doubt an exchange of information and of goodwill. And then when we say, well, hang on a second, what about all this organised crime activity, this organised crime risk? What are you doing about that? Do those networks then work together to sort of silently or tacitly or otherwise agree that we just won't look too hard at these big problems? The casino business is a risky business. So when you give a company a license to run a casino, you're saying, well, we're going to allow a level of risk and a level of behaviour that some people would consider inappropriate, but we'll try to manage that within social and community expectations. I think what we've truly blown apart by exposing how Crown has facilitated, enabled organised crime entities with some pretty sinister connections to the Chinese Communist Party, they have not earned the community's trust to keep operating the way they have been operating. So how do they get that back? Well, we need much more fulsome accountability. We need a proper inquiry to find out what's gone wrong and what is still going wrong. And at the moment, those things seem to be happening. There are inquiries now across Australia, federal and state inquiries. Do they have the resources? Do they have the political will to get to the bottom of this? That's an open question.
I mean, you couldn't have stranger bedfellows than the... Well, perhaps they're not strange bedfellows. The Chinese Communist Party... criminals and Crown all in the same bed. It's not a threesome I want to go to.
Well, the almighty power of the dollar, I think that's what ties crime group together. This is all about maximising returns for Crown, maximising returns for the high roller junket operators, maximising returns for the state of Victoria. So everyone's been very, very happy as that money's flowed across the table, everyone gets their cut quite appropriately. The taxes flow into the community. But no one's been asking that tough question. You know, what is the source of the funds? Mm. Are some of these funds the proceeds of drug trafficking, of fraud, of corruption? Are they tainted? Have they been smuggled out of China in breach of Chinese illicit capital flight rules? The reason perhaps no one's been asking those questions aggressively until now is, well, the answer's probably going to be fairly adverse. Now, if the answer is adverse, and all the evidence we've dug up suggests it is, well, what does that mean about Crown's operations? Do they have to apply due diligence, apply some pretty proper, appropriate and aggressive vetting of some of their patrons and business partners in a way that would lead to that some of those revenue streams somewhat lessening or drying up? What does that mean for the business of Crown itself? So they're the really big picture questions which I think are now hovering around not just Crown but the casino industry in Australia.
Nick, what do you think James Packer thinks about all this? And, you know, obviously some of this has happened when he was a much larger shareholder and more heavily involved. My understanding is, yes, James plays pretty hard, but that he also plays pretty straight. What do you think he thinks about all this?
Well, he's maintained a pretty powerful silence of late. He's obviously sold a significant chunk of his shareholding, which is, or sought to, that's now under review by the Sydney regulator, along with the other allegations around Crown Resorts' interactions with alleged criminal entities. One must think that the decision to sell down his share, the talk about selling Crown, delisting Crown and getting it, selling it to a private entity or another listed company, I think, is this all about Packer and Packer's advisors looking at the risk of the casino business, looking at the risk of the high roller dollar out of China and whether the Chinese Communist Party would be of a mind to at some point turn that tap off or enforce the laws more aggressively. So has he avoided risk in a clever way by selling down? What's going to happen, though, to that sale, the share sale now? It's being scrutinised. There is talk that we hear amongst analysts that if the company is battered by these inquiries, and I've got no doubt in my mind these inquiries will find some significantly adverse things about Crown Resorts, does that make it a prime takeover target? Now, you know, if it's going to be taken over, is that good news for shareholders, bad news? Is the takeover involve a premium paid on shares? So, I mean, how this plays out, it's extremely fascinating. I'm sure Packer is getting some very good advice. He's obviously had a very, very troubled life, but he seems to have been, at times, a very, very astute business person as well and an astute deal maker. I'm sure he's plotting at all these moves, and I dare say he's probably a step ahead of many of the analysts.
Nick, you've been in the trenches on, you know, so many major investigations that have led to inquiries, that have led often in some cases to charges. Given what you've reported, the documents that you've seen, you obviously feel that there's enough for Victoria to have an inquiry into Crown of some sort. But if you're a betting man, do you think that would happen?
Well, there is inquiries happening. The Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission is conducting an inquiry looking at junket operators and Australian casinos and no doubt Crown. The gaming regulator is now doing a pretty pathetic couple of week review, but I think if they're serious, that will end up getting bigger and bigger. The New South Wales Gaming Authority is looking at Crown with Royal Commission powers as former judge. We've got different law enforcement bodies, state policing bodies now looking at aspects of this scandal. So these things will all tease out, no doubt, evidence or very strong intelligence of wrongdoing that's tied or linked to Crown Resorts operation. But your question is a great one. Will there be a proper inquiry with actual absolute political will to really hold bad behaviour to account? And ultimately, I look to the board of Crown Resorts and say, well, you're responsible for the company's corporate governance, you're responsible for managing this risk. And our blind Freddie can say that the evidence suggests there's been a massive governance and risk management failure, and that's on the shoulders of the board. How are they responding? Now, to date, what they've done is place some paid advertisements in News Limited papers trying to engage in spin and PR, and it's been disastrous. I mean, it's been one of the most laughable PR corporate campaigns I've ever come across. Nobody I've spoken to, even those sympathetic to Crown, thinks that it's held any water at all. So that's failure number one. Now the board should be asking some tough questions of whoever advised them to do that. I'm sure they are, but will they do what's necessary? Appoint an independent investigator, a former judge, a former barrister, some accountants, forensic accountants, actually look and advise the board about what's gone wrong here, and should they release that to the market, to the shareholders, to say, well, we did stuff up, but this is how we're not going to do it again. I think they absolutely must do that.
Look, thanks for your time, Nick. If I was a betting man, and I'm not really, but if I wanted to put money on there being an absolutely full and rigorous inquiry, I'd probably want to get the odds off Crown because they'd probably back the house.
I think you're probably right. I mean, I wouldn't lay that better. One thing we can count on here is self interest. There's lots of self interest amongst the political class of keeping things as they are and not looking under too many rocks. But that said, we're not going to stop finding evidence, presenting it fairly to the public. So we'll keep pushing, and I think the more we find, the more the groundswell will grow, and the whole issue will become pretty hard to avoid.
Nick McKenzie, thank you for your time. Keep up the great work, and thank you for joining us on Joy 94.9 today.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.